Blog Talk Radio.
I'm free. And every single day, I'm going to always be in that place of being free.
Being free.
Yes, being free.
Yourself, a lot of us are in bondage, you know, in our minds, within ourselves. Yes. We're locked up.
Yes.
You know, but I'm free. I mean, I'm so free. I'm free as a bird.
You know what I found out today? I found out that every single day that we should always, you know, look at freedom, because just like you said, there's so many things that keeps us in bondage, so many things that we're worried about, so many things that we're concerned about every single day. That bounds us. It binds us every single day.
Yes. Welcome, you all. Welcome.
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 To the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm Tawanese Manning.
I'm Dorothy Manning.
I'm the preacher.
And the pastor.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We're free, you know. I felt like we was in our marriage that we were bowing down to some things. We had those attacks and free last night. I got free. I was set free.
You're free. Finally, yeah.
Like, wow, animal just coming out. being free. Yeah, because some people, you know, they locked up. You know, they're found and stuff. So when you get free, like, wait a minute. What is this? It's freedom.
That's right. Sometimes you don't even know it be on you. And when it come out, I can understand that. You know, you feel like an animal that's been caged up, and then, you know, you're out, and then you're like an animal been locked up. You're going to run free.
Run free, yeah. Speaking of freedom, if you just had tuned in, I just want to tell y'all something. We have hair-filled cats, and so we decided to let the cats go out and play a little bit while the husband's barbecuing. And so the mother cat, she decided I think she realized she was free. She took off.
She did realize she was free.
She took off and was down in the neighbor's yard.
That's right.
And she realized, wait a minute.
With no eyes on her.
She was climbing away and everything.
Jumping in everybody's yard and running up squirrels. And
all the time.
We couldn't.
But she's always been free, you know, even inside. So we thank God for you all tonight for being on the Preaching the Pastor Show. Sister Dylan, we're lifting you up in prayer right now.
Hallelujah.
Trusting God for a quick turnaround
in
your healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, you know, you all right now, we're having our October is a month of breakthrough. So we're having the midnight prayer. And we started last night at 12.
Oh, wasn't it so good?
It was awesome. So
good.
If you missed it, please tonight join us
tonight.
In the stands. At 732-434-2510. And we had, you know, a few people was on last night. We thank God because we're able to touch and agree.
That's right.
That's one thing we have to do is touch and agree. We just can't pray if we're not in agreement.
That's right.
So if you can, please join us at midnight tonight. We'll be on every day for 31 days on the prayer call, you know, as breakthrough. You know, when I got it, I was led to, I said, okay, well, it's October, you know, you want me to pray, so I just got in position. And then I got the word, it's a breakthrough and healing, breakthrough and deliverance. So breakthrough, we're needing breakthrough, whether it's in your patience, or whether it's in your health, or whether it's in your strength or your finances. So please join us. And if you can, be there every day for 31 days. It may be a challenge for you, but God, you know, we have to sacrifice. At that time aside, you can go back to sleep after, you know, the 12 or whatever. Thank God. And we pray that God will restore you so you won't miss your sleep. Because God will give you restoration of that. So you'll be renewed by the word of God. So we just thank God again. That's from October the 1st to the 31st. And then also at 12 noon, we'll be on. We'll be praying at 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. So midnight and 12 noon. So if you can join us, please.
Set your watch.
Set your watch. Set your time.
Clock or whatever kind of type of device you have to be on time.
734-434-2510. We want to invite you out. Look, you thank somebody else out.
That's right.
To be on with you. Thank God.
Serve on time, God.
She's on time, God. You want to be on time for you.
That's right.
And God, I'm calling on you. And he said, look, I've been waiting for you. I've been here.
That's right.
And it's not been set time. God knows you're going to be there. You know, at this set time. And he said, okay, that's Sister Dilla. That's Brother Manny. That's Sister Manny. That's Sister Northern. Or, you know, Sister Green. And you know, they're going to be on time. And he knows it's a set time. So we thank God again. You are today. We're talking about it is written.
And
we're
going to
dive right into it right now. Father God, we thank you for your word. But we know your word is true. Father God, we ask, oh God, that you touch every heart right now. Touch every mind, Father God. We come against every spirit of confusion. We come against every spirit of deception, disbelief, or unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, we ask, Lord God, right now that you would just move right now on us in the name of Christ. Oh, Father God, we come withholding nothing, oh God, to receive all that you have for us to receive, oh God. Oh, Lord, we give our life away so that you can use us, Father God. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father God, in the use, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for this set time, oh God, that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace together, touching and agreeing to receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we love you, oh God. We come asking for more of you and less of ourselves, oh Lord. So give us you, oh God, everything else can wait, oh Lord. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough, but yet and still, we thank you. Thank you for your word on today, Father God, for we know your word is true. And Father God, we ask, oh God, as we read your word, Father God, that you will open up our understanding, oh Lord, and bless us with revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word that we may be able to apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, and we fill this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. So you are, if you just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we are talking about it is written. When the Bible says it is written, so we're going to talk about the written word of God, which we know is the Bible. And so this show is It is written would help us to understand the written word of God and its power never to be changed but to be fulfilled, you all. So when we look at the written words, the Bible says in Luke 10, chapter 10, you all, we're going to start at Luke chapter 10, verse 26 to 27. He said to him, what is it written, the law? I'm going to give you all a chance to get there. Luke 10, chapter 26 to 27, you all. He said to him, this is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the, it's a parable of the Good Samaritan. So the Bible says in verse 26 and 27, he said to him, what is written what is written in the law? So you ask the question, what is your reading of it? So you ask another question. In verse 27 said, he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So as we see here, it is written. What is he asked? What is written of the law? So he's asking a question. So when we look at the Bible, so this lawyer was quoting Deuteronomy 6 and 5, law in Leviticus 19 and 18. He correctly understood that the law demanded total devotion to God and love for one's neighbor. So Jesus talked more about these laws, you all, and we'll talk about, because we're talking about the written word, the written law. What is the, you know, what is the written law? So as we continue here in the shows, we're talking about it is written. We're going to open up some things that you can understand. The phrase "it is written" is an appeal to the written authority of some sort. So it may be law, history, wisdom, prophecy, and more. So you'll find it, you all, as we continue to read. And we're going to go to Matthew 4, but I'm going to let my husband speak right now. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, it is written. You know, this is it's very important. I actually heard a few different ministers, you know, preach a sermon about it is written. And it's every single time that I hear, you know, a sermon about it is written, it takes me from a place of where, you know, where I'm at right now, you know, where there's affliction or where they, whatever it is that I'm doing right now. And it takes me to a place of putting my eyes on Jesus. And that is the reason why, you know, the word of God, you know, is written. It's written for you, you know, to put your eyes on Jesus. So there was one scripture. There's one scripture is over here in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a little time to get there. You know, John chapter 6, and I was reading this this afternoon, you know, when we were talking about, you know, it is written. John chapter 6 and verses 27. I'll read mm-hmm. this here. John chapter 6 and verses 27 says, labor not for meat which perishes, but for meat which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him that God, you know, hath sealed. And 29, and this is Jesus. Now, this is Jesus speaking here. Jesus, you know, he said right here in 29 that, you know, the work of God is for you to believe in who he sent. See, this is written for you. See, this is for you. This is for you to know. You know, everything, you know, that's in the Bible that is written, it's for you to be able to live a life and to know the word of God, you know, to know what is written. And like right here, what Jesus is saying is for you to believe in who God sent. You know, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You just now tuning in to the preaching, the pastor. So we're talking about it is written, you all. And having an understanding. So what I want to do is I really want to break down, you know, what is written and what does it mean, you know, what is written. You know, we hear it, you know, we heard it and in Matthew 4:4 when Jesus told the devil it is written. The Bible said that the Bible, that man should not live by bread alone, but everywhere that proceed out the mouth of God. And so understand what it is written. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this. The Bible uses two different Greek words to refer to the word of God, the written word of God, you all, which is logos and rhema. You ever heard of rhema words? So understand the meaning of these two words will help us to know and to experience God in a deeper way. So logos is used to refer to the constant written word of God, which we have recorded in the Bible. And so it is incredible, y'all, that we have God's written word in our hands. You have it. You have a Bible. You have God's written word in your hand. And that's amazing. That's incredible that we have it. And a lot of people don't understand, you know what I'm saying, how amazing that is that we have that word. We don't have to go, you know, searching for it. God has given us his written word. So through the written word, we can learn God and knowing his ways, his salvation, and his plan for us. So without the Logos, we would have no way to know who God is or how he operates. So we thank God for giving us the Bible as his means to communicate who he is to us, you all. So through the written word of God, Logos, we learn about God and objectively, and it's amazing, you all, but we can go further to know God on a personal level and experience him subjectively. So where there is a Raymond, when Raymond comes in, you all, we're talking about a Raymond word. I don't know if you ever heard a Raymond word, a word from God. Raymond is the least known Greek word used in the Bible for a word. So, and it refers to the personal speaking of God to us. I don't know if you ever got a Raymond word from God. You know, you've been waiting, you've been praying for this word, and God give you a word specifically for you. So our God isn't silent. He's a speaking God. He wants to communicate with us, not only through his written word, but also through speaking directly to us in our particular situation. So this instant speaking from God comes to us within and is based on a constant written word of God. It's by the rhema word that we can know God subjectively and experientially. You know, so sometimes we receive God's rhema word as we are reading or praying the written word, and other times that the Lord speaks to us specifically, a specific word to us, sometime during our day. You know, you may get a word from God or be reading the Bible or praying, and that word comes, and you know, you hear God speaking to you. He may say, move now, or you're healed now, peace right now, receive peace. You know, he'll give you that, and you'll be like, oh, and you'll be reading the scripture, you'll be praying, and you'll get that word, and it'll be a that's a raining word from God, and you'll feel it in your spirit. You'll know, you'll feel it in your spirit. He'll speak, it'll be loud and clear, not the way that you hear me speaking. But you ever, and me and my husband, we were feeling this the other day, the loudness of, you know, we had received peace. It was silent in the house, but we could just, it was ringing off the wall. Peace, you know, and that's a Raymond word. So we can talk about the written word. It is written, and it's an understanding, the written word and the Raymond word, and what logos is, so we can have a better understanding, so that we can understand who God is and how he speaks through his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You were just in here saying this, how we receive that peace. See, what was going on? What's going on? That me and my wife, we always are in the word of God. Always in the word of God. And this is a good thing for everyone, you know, to, you know, always be in that place of being in the word and, you know, being in that place, you know, to hear what God, you know, has to say for you. It was so great to be able to, when God speaks, and, you know, you have your ears open, you know, you have your mind open, everything else is blocked out. You know, God, when he speaks to you, you know, everything that God speaks to, you know, it's in the word of God. You know, it is written. It is already written.
Yeah, it's already written.
It's written. So when God speaks to you and you listen, and then you find yourself in that place, my wife said, you know, actually going in the word of God and finding out, you know, what was spoken to you, you might have not even read that word, but because God spoke it to you, and then you find it in scripture, which backs up, you know, what was spoken to you in the spirit. Oh my goodness, it's really, that takes you from a place of, all right, I heard about you, Lord, and I heard that you speak, to a place of, God, now I trust you and I believe you because you gave me some instructions, and the instructions that you gave me, you spoke it directly to my heart, you spoke it directly into my mind. And you spoke it, and it was so loud, and I understood, and then I find it in the Bible. I found it in Scripture. You know, it is written. That is for you.
Lord.
That is for you. The written word of God is for you. Know what is written. Now, over here in Mark chapter 4, you know, it talks about, you know, how Jesus was led to the wilderness, you know, by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And here it is, you know, the devil came to him and was using the word of God, but not the whole word of God, was twisting it around and trying to get Jesus to do something that Jesus already knew. He was trying to tempt him. It was an attack that was on him. You know, he was tempting Jesus. And here it is, every single time that he would tempt Jesus, and Jesus would say, it is written. And he would tell him, you know, what it is, you know, that is written. See, this is for us too. See, many times in your life, Satan, you know, he will come to you, or thoughts or feelings or whoever it is that Satan sent, you know, they will come to you and try to get you in that place to be tempted. And here it is, you need to know what is written, because when you know what is written, see, Satan has to go, and he has to flee, because when you know what is written, because that is how you get Satan up off of you, knowing what is written in the word of God. See, this is your defense. This is your defense. This is what you use to get Satan apart from you, is the word of God. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and if you just have tuned into the Preacher and the Pastor show, we're talking about it is written.
Yes.
And I just want to add on to what you were saying, you know, when Jesus
yes.
kept saying it is written, he was using the word, he kept speaking, it is written. And you know, the Bible tells
right.
that God's word will never come back void. So just when we're talking about, you know, both logos and rhema are crucial to our Christian life, but God uses his logos words to speak, his rhema words to us. So the more we read the written word, even storing it up in us, the more God can speak instant words to us, and God's living instant speaking always corresponds with his written word, because Jesus said it is written, so which keeps us on the right path. So these instant words guides us and turns us to him when we take heed to them. So the important thing is we have to take heed to these words that are written. So as an example, let us say that you are at work or at school and you're angry about something. The more you think about it, the more turmoil you experience and the more dead you begin to feel. So all of a sudden, so Romans 8:6 pops into your head.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Romans 8, the word of God pops into your head. The written
That's
word
right.
pops
the
into
word.
Your
the
head.
Word
Romans
out.
6,
Hallelujah.
The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Immediately you realize, wow, no wonder I'm so dead. I've been setting my mind on my flesh.
Yes.
I've been setting my mind on my flesh. You know, so when you realize that, you know, now you can operate according to the written word of God, so you begin to pray.
Right.
You know, so you realize, oh my God, you know, my mind is on the flesh. I need to turn back to the Lord to set my mind on him. You know, that he'll keep me in praise and peace. So you begin to pray, Lord, I turn back to you. I set my mind on you in my spirit right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you, Lord. When my mind is set on my spirit, it's life and peace. So suddenly you're saved from the negative things that you were experiencing and are urged into enjoying life and peace from God. A lot of people saying, you know, I need patience, I need this, I need God to strengthen me. And he gives us the word of God. Use the word of God. It is written for us to use it. Power. There's deliverance in it. And you have the power and the authority right there to change your mind by the word of God. And that's why we should, you know, be in the word of God, so that the written word of God, so we can understand and know, so that we can use that. And you know, in such times as this, because the enemy wants to take that away from us. I want you all to understand, if he can take that away from you, he'll leave you in that place. You know, the enemy comes out to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is his work all day long. It's not a point that he decides, I'm just going to give you some peace. I'm just going to let you in. I'm going to let you make it today. And so we just have to understand that we have to get in that place and receive the peace of God and ask yourself, how did all this happen? The Lord use the constant written word, logos, you people that we were talking about right here, as we're talking about the Raymond word and your particular situation, excuse me, the Lord instantly speaks strength to you. He speaks strength to you to return back to him and supply you in the midst of your circumstances. Don't think, you know, a lot of times we don't believe. You got to believe that. You know, believe the word of God. Don't look for error in it. Believe it so that it can work for you. The only way the word is going to work for you is that you believe the written word of God. Once you believe it, then you can start to receive it. You can start acting on it. You can start using the word and applying it to your life. So the written word does more than help us in particular situations. It also imparts Christ as life into us and us so we can grow in him. And it washes us so we can be inwardly transformed by these two functions of the written word. God works out his purpose in us, you all. When we look at John 6:63, if y'all want to turn there, John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life.
Uh-huh.
The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Amen?
Yes.
So once we understand that, you know, the written word, I thank God for this, you know, for this topic on today, so that we can have an understanding how the word of God works, the written word of God that's in the Bible, that is here to help us and to guide us and to strengthen us in those times. So know how to turn back and say, it is written. The word of God said, if it's written, and it shall be, and it's nothing you can't add to it or take away from it. It is written. And it's a staple.
Yeah.
And once we make it a staple in our lives, and we can live a better life, a life of joy, a life of peace, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want to take us over to Romans. You are Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 says, you are, I'll give you a minute to get there. You can write it down. Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen? So when we look at the scripture right here, the knowledge of the scripture affects our attitude toward the present and the future. So the more we know about what God has done, and you know, has done in our life, you all, has done in years past, the greater the confidence we have about what he would do in the days ahead. So we should read our Bibles diligently to increase our trust that God's will is best for us, and that is what the written word is for. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I was, before I gave my life over to Christ, I'm probably like every other kid, you know, that was in the family. You know, I used to go to church because, you know, you better get up and go to church unless you're going to get a whooping. You know, everybody got to get up and go to church. And I come from a place like that. You know, you had to go to church on Sunday. You had to go to Sunday school. Sunday school early that Sunday morning, and after Sunday school, then there was the church service. You know, then after the church service, then there was the fellowship. You know, was out there. You know, to where you know we had food to eat. But I remember when I would be in the Sunday school and in the church service. You know, I would hear the laws, and I would hear, you know, the commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments that was always, you know, taught. But there was certain things that I just did not understand. Now, this is when I was, you know, this is when I was younger. You know, I'm in a different place now, but this is when I was younger. And, you know, I would hear these commandments. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, which was given to Moses here. This was law. This was promise. You know, this was written. So since we are talking about this topic, and there were certain things, you know, about law and the commandments that, and when I heard it, it made me feel like, oh, man, I messed that up. Because it said, you know, not to kill, and I know I had killed that little frog just the other day. Oh, man, that just messed me up. Just messed me up. And it said not to steal. So I was thinking, man, if I did, then I steal something. And I remember, you know, there was some candy that I had took out the store. And I'm like, oh, man, I just messed up. Oh, man, God going to deal with me because, you know, here it is, you know, the Ten Commandments say, you know, thou shall not steal. And here it is, I just stole some candy out the store. Then it said, don't kill. And here it is, you know, I'm killing frogs. But, you know, I didn't know enough. I didn't know enough. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that for a reason. You know, the word of God, you know, it's for you to get to know. You know, once you understand, you know, the word of God, you know, get a revelation of the word of God, you know, what is written, you get a revelation of it. You go from a place of just like I was at the time, you know, being a child and a childlike mind and being in that place of being ashamed and being, you know, condemned, you know, thinking that God is going to, oh, he's just going to have the wrath just come down on me because I done broke. You know, man, this was written, you know, it was broken. Oh, man, I messed up. But the more, you know, I would get into the word of God, the stronger I became, you know, in my faith. And I heard you said that, Pastor. You said that, you know, you're getting the word. The stronger I became in my faith, understanding what the word of God is saying. And I also understood what Jesus was saying when he said, man should not live by bread alone, but every single word that proceeds out the mouth of God. You know, you should get into the word of God and not just get, you know, just one scripture and think that's enough. Because I'm here to tell you, Satan knows the word of God. He knows the word of God. And there are people that's out here, you know, that they use the word of God and almost use it against you because you don't know the word. You don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know it. And even if you do know it, they have a way of trying to use the word of God and manipulating it to get you to do something because you're not in it enough. You're not spending enough time with God. You're not spending enough time with the Holy Spirit. You're not asking God, you know, what does this mean? You know, this is your written word. You know, what does this mean? So I just wanted to say that, you know, that's the reason why, you know, the word of God is here. The word of God is here to protect you. The word of God is here to protect you, to defend. You know, Jesus Christ is the word of God. The written word of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Know what is written so you can get to know who Jesus Christ is. The more you put your eyes on the Word of God, oh, the written Word of God, what is written, you will go from you being the person that you are, maybe like me, the little young kid that was just going to church, going to Sunday school. You will go from that person to being looking like God and, you know, imitating God. And the Word of God tells us that. The Word of God tells us that you're to be imitators of God. You know, you would go from that, you know, that's what it means to go from glory to glory, you know, not being in that place where, you know, where you would be always under attack. Well, people would say something and you would be angry. You don't even know how to come out of anger. Or somebody would do something and, you know, it'd cause you to be, you know, sad or your heart just broken and you don't know how to come out of that. You don't know how to come out of that because you haven't spent enough time in the Word, you know what is written. Amen.
Hey, man, you're going to tune into the preaching of God's show. We're talking about it is written. And I kind of want to go back to the scripture in Matthew 4, chapter 4, when Jesus said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, because if that's one scripture I remember about it is written, that's one thing when I was doing my 40 days of fasting, when I first got into ministry full-time, God was calling me during that time. And that was one thing, because when I was fasting, there was no food. There was no chewing gum. I was not chewing anything. I was not eating any food. There was no solid food that was going in my body. And so when I would read the Word of God, I would get so full. I stayed in the Word. I was in prayer. I was in praise. I was in worship. I was in Bible study. Everything was going on. I was in the wilderness. It was a wilderness experience. And so my body, if you saw me, I was losing a great amount of weight. I got really, really small in that time. But there was no food. And it's, my children were concerned, like, Mama, please eat. You know, oh, you're trying to kill yourself. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm full. But I would get so full of the Word of God. I would literally be so full of the written Word of God. And it always took me back to that scripture. And when we look at this, and when we look at the scripture here in verse 4, you all, Jesus was able to resist all of the devil's temptation because he not only knew scripture, but he also obeyed it. He also obeyed
it.
One thing to know the scripture, but do you obey it? So he knew the scripture, but he also obeyed it. So in Ephesians 6:17 says that God's Word is a sword to use in spiritual combat. God's written Word is for us to use, you all, in spiritual combat. This is a spiritual warfare that we're having here. You know, we're not human beings having a spiritual encounter. We're actually spiritual, having a human experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Hallelujah.
So knowing Bible verses is an important step in helping us resist the devil's attacks, but we must also obey the Bible. So know that Satan had memorized scripture, you all, like my husband said. He knows the Word, so he memorized scripture, but he failed to obey it. So Satan knows the scripture, but he does not obey it. So knowing and obeying the Bible helps us follow God's desire rather than the devil's. So we got to look at that, you all, you know, knowing it, but are we obeying the scripture? Are we applying the scripture, you know, to our life? My husband, are you angry? You can't come out. So when you have scripture, you're able to decree and declare it is written of your life, that to be able to come out of those situations, you know, of anger and fear and worry by using the Word of God. It will give you peace. The Word brings peace. It brings joy. It brings healing.
Right.
But learning how to use the Word of God, the written Word of God, it will not change you all. The Word does not change. It is here. It is powerful. You know, the Word of God has power and authority over all of Satan, all his commands and ways. You know, the Word will be fulfilled. It will not die. The Bible says heaven and earth will disappear before the Word of God comes back void. So you can stand on the Word of God, the written Word of God. You know, in the beginning, God wrote the commandments down for Moses. He wrote it down.
Yes.
He wrote it down, he wrote it down for him. And the next time he wrote, he had Moses to write it. So it was a written Word. You know, there's a spoken Word and there's a written Word. So you use the Word, the written Word of God, you all. And I want to take you all over. I'm going to still talk a little bit more about the Rhema Word so people can understand. And I'll open it up for questions, the Rhema Word and Logos, to understand how those work together and how the Spirit, you know, empowers us and helps us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how we use that. But I want to go over to 2 Timothy quickly here. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16. That's chapter 3, verse 16. God bless you all. I just thought in my spirit to just say, God, too, that, you know, you are blessed. You're here tonight, God. The Word says you are blessed. You are blessed. Look for the abundance of blessings this month in your life. It's going to whatever you are asking God to do for you. Believe it and receive it this month. This is a breakthrough month right here. Breakthrough, and we're coming against every attack this month that the enemy has set out to try to discourage you, to try to stop you from getting there, to have you to fear and have doubt. Don't have doubt,
amen,
don't fear, so that you can receive your breakthrough this month. This is the month of breakthrough, and we decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right now and right here in this very hour at 8:34 p.m. Central Standard Time here in Houston, Texas. Amen. So, in 2 Timothy, you are 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, make sure I'm on the right, 16, all scripture, you all, not one or two, but all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness,
yes.
Amen, verse 17, that the man of God may complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, all scripture. So the whole Bible is God's inspired word because it is inspired and trustworthy. So we should read it and apply it to our lives. The Bible is our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true. So it is our safeguard against false teaching and our source of guidance for how we should live. As my husband was saying earlier, you know, when you read it for yourself, because you have people out there that read the Bible and they'll lead you astray. They'll add to it. They'll take away from it. So it is our only source of knowledge about how we can be saved. A lot of people have been in the church for years, and they don't even know what's in the Bible. They allow somebody else to tell them what's in the Bible and believe what they're saying. But we want to be able to take you step by step and answer any questions that you may have so that you have an understanding. It's not our word. It is the word of God. It's the written word of God. So we have to the question is, we have to ask ourselves, how much time do you spend in God's word? That is very important. Read it regularly to discover God's truth and to become confident in your life and faith. Develop a plan for reading the whole Bible, not just the familiar passages, you all, but to read the whole Bible. Even if it takes you 2 years, 3 years, a year, take your time and read the Bible. You know, start in Old Testament so you can understand the New Testament. And you know, I remember when I first read the whole Bible, I would position myself. But like, we have to position our minds and position ourselves to be able to receive. So I would position myself daily, and I would set aside time to read the Bible, whether it's a chapter a day, whether it's one book a day. You know, you don't have to try to do it all quickly, but take your time. Read a chapter a day. Okay, Genesis 1 and 1. Okay, read the whole, then go and then take notes. Grab a pen and paper. Take notes of what came to you in your spirit, what stood out to you in your spirit, what resonated in your spirit, what rain and word did God give you when you were reading the word of God, the written word of God. Write it down. You know, have your pen and paper so you're not just reading and, you know, read the list. So as you're reading, write it down. So when you come to Bible study, when you get around another man or woman of God, you can ask them, hey, I read this. I don't really have a clear understanding. Can you explain it to me more? And you can tell them, when I read it, my revelation was this. You know, this is the revelation I got from it. You know, and talk and be open. You know, the worst thing we can do is not open our mouth and say, you know, I really don't get it, I really don't understand it, and just act like we get something. Uh-huh. You know, so just open up your mouth and say, hey, I don't understand it. Write it down. You have any questions, we'll be happy to go over it with you. Amen. And so, again, I thank God for this opportunity. Does anyone have any questions? If you do have any questions regarding this topic tonight, press 1. We'll be happy to answer any questions that we are talking about. It is written. So all you have to do is press 1. Me and my husband will answer any questions that you may have. And as you all are doing that, decide if you're going to press 1 or not. Remember, tonight at midnight, we are praying. We have our intercessory prayer at 732-434-2510 at 12 a.m. We won't keep you long. The prayer call is probably about 30 minutes. They're strategic prayers, but we do get your prayer request as well, and we go straight into prayer. So we won't keep you long on the phone. We try not to keep you long on the phone. I'm just going to say that. We try not to keep you long on the phone, as well as at 12 noon at lunch hour. We try to really try to make about 30 minutes, depending on how many people are on the call. We don't want to leave anybody out. We don't want to leave anybody out. So, again, it's tonight at midnight, 732-434-2510. Join us if you can. you know, pass the word to somebody else. Even if you can't get on, maybe someone else may need it. You just never know what somebody is going through. Some people are having hard times just being able to sleep at night, and they just need somebody to talk to. That'd be a good time for them to call in and receive the word of God and come into agreement so that they can be set free. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I do have a question here. Maybe it's more like a question or a statement. And the question is for is for you, Pastor. Now, if I'm angry and I don't know what to do. Now we're talking about the topic of it is written.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm angry and I don't know what to do.
Mm.
Are there scriptures, written scriptures in the Bible that deals with anger?
Are you asking me the question? Are you asking me, or you just asking the question out loud and you're going to answer it?
I answer that. There are scriptures that are in that. I was asking my wife playing around. There are scriptures that are in the Bible that deals with anger. Now, if you are always, dealing, you have anger issues. You have anger issues and just cannot, I just do not know how to not be angry every single time that this person says this. I just get angry. Every single time that I see this, I just get angry. I found out that anger, you know, it stems from fear of something, and and when I found that out, just because I went to the Word of God, and the Word of God, the written Word of God, what is written, it showed me there about anger, and it related anger to fear. So
yeah,
I got a little bit deeper. I started digging a little bit deeper. You know, okay, well, anger leads to fear. So what does the Word of God say about fear? What does the Word of God say about fear? And it took me over here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Now, when I read this, and I read it over and over and over, and I would just read it, and I would read it, and I would read it, I realized something. Oh, you know what? The reason why that I'm angry is because of fear. But the reason why that I'm feared because of who it is that's ministering to my mind of fear. And it was the work of Satan, which was ministering to my mind of fear. And over here, clearly, the Word of God, the written Word of God, it is written, y'all. The written Word of God says in Romans chapter 8 and 15 says, for you have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when I read that, I was like, okay, so God, fear don't come from God. So fear comes from Satan. So therefore, when I'm fearing anything, I become angry, and this anger, you know, this is the work of Satan to cause me to come unraveled, to be emotional. Now, once I started putting my eyes on the Word of God, I started to read a little bit more. Okay, so now I know how to not be angry, because every single time that I be angry, oh, that's fear. So let me find out where that fear is coming from. So let me just make sure I use the Word of God so I don't be in that place of fear, the written Word of God, so I don't be in that place of fear. And when I started to do that, I just started to seek more and more and more and more and more and more. I just would start getting into this Word. You know, I started to get into this Word to the point to where at first, you know, it was for me just to come out of a situation. And then it went from the point of me just to come out of the situation, of me knowing more of the written Word of God, for me to be able to help others come out of situations that they are in also. God knew that. God knew that. Me being in that place and me asking this question that led me to the answer in the Word of God is the answer to every single situation that concerns you. The written Word of God God knew that when I would put my eyes on it, and then I would believe it, I would read more and more and more of the Word of God, and I would trust more and more and more of the Word of God. And then, you know, I just would become, you know, in that place of being able to not fear, being in that place of not being ashamed, being in that place of not doing a whole lot of other things because I wouldn't allow the enemy, I wouldn't allow Satan to minister to me. I wouldn't allow, you know, Satan to keep me in that place of not knowing the written Word of God. That's why Satan don't want you to be in the Word of God. Because if you be in the Word of God, and then you find out that the Word of God, how it changed you, oh, you're going to tell somebody. You're going to tell somebody what the written Word of God say, and you're going to show it to them. And then when you show it to them, you and that person and everybody else is catching. And it's like wildfire. You'll start defeating. Say you'll start, you'll start winning battles because, you know, you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. The word will be working inside of you. You know, it'll come out of you. You read the Word of God and it got on the inside. Then you'll start speaking the Word of God. You will start speaking, you know, what is written. You know, instead of these thoughts be speaking to you, you'll start speaking to those thoughts, to these people or whoever it is that be speaking. You'll start using the written Word of God. Amen. That's for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God. Amen. Anybody have any questions or any comments? Because we're talking about it is written. We want to hear from you right now. If you do, please press 1. We thank God for you. Just helping you, press 1. Let us know. You know, we definitely want to, you know, make sure that you're being
helped.
And those who are tuning in and those that are actually online tuning in, if you have a question, please give us a call at 845-277-9213. As we're talking about, it is written. Yes, yes, Lord, we thank God. I want to go over to John 10:35, and I also want to continue to kind of go back and forth about the rhema word, like I stated earlier. But I want to go over John, St. John chapter 10, verse 35, you all. St. John chapter 10, verse 35 says, if he called them God, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So when we look at the scripture, Jesus speaking, you all, speaking to the religious leaders that were surrounding him at the time, because they were saying that, you know, that he was God himself, God. And we look at verse 33. Let me go up a little bit so you all can have an understanding here. The Bible says in verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. And verse 34 said, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are God? And verse 35 says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So the scripture cannot be broken, y'all, is a clear statement of the truth of the Bible. So if we accept Christ as Lord, we also accept his testimony to the Bible as God's word. Amen?
Amen. Ask God. Amen. Ask God to give you revelation. Hallelujah. Of what is the revelation of what is written. And the revelation that God is going to give you of what is written is going to always be about who God sent. I think I said that over in John chapter 6, who I sent to you.
Yes, I want to continue here.
Revelation of the word of God.
Yes, I'm only laughing. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm only laughing because I said amen. And then when I say amen, he can come on in. But I wasn't saying amen, so I was excited about the statement. I wanted to continue.
That's right.
If you don't mind.
This is a very good topic. It's a very good topic. You know, sometimes stuff just flow out of you. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen.
Well, I just want to say this. You know, we all know the scripture, you know, in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to understand this is a written word here. The Lord is your shepherd. And when you declare the fact that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. It is written. It is written. So you declare the fact that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And understanding that he is a shepherd of cares, and we totally depend on him. A lot of times we're dependent on ourselves and trusting ourselves. Trust the word of God so that you can receive all that God has for you. Amen. Go ahead.
That's right. Thank you. I was saying, this brings me up a particular time I was working at this job. I think I might have was maybe at Barnett Motor Pool or something at one point in time, maybe some years ago. And there was these two drivers, they were much older drivers, maybe between ages 60 and 70 years old. And they knew the word of God. They knew scripture. But for some reason, one knew the scripture and he got a revelation from it. And the other one knew the same scripture and got a revelation from it. And they were arguing about scripture, what scripture was saying, that didn't mean that. And after my, they were almost to the point where I would look at them and I seen like it was fire in their eyes, like they was gonna, you know, hurt each other, like seriously. And I was one of the younger drivers at that particular time, and both of them, they of everybody they could ask, they looked at me and asked me, "What does that scripture say?" And to me, that was like, wait a minute, you just throw me in a cross right here. You know, y'all are much older than me. You know scripture. And I said this, and I really didn't know what to say. I just let, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, use me. And I said, well, scripture says to you, and what scripture says to you, I said, both of you have a revelation of it, but scripture is not for you to be angry, not for you to be quarreling and fighting off each other. Scripture is for you to use it in the manner of knowing that, you know, hey, this is for love. You're supposed to love one another. You're not supposed to fight over scripture. Yeah, and both of them, they looked at each other. They were, you know what I'm saying, at a point like they wanted to fight, and they just walked away. So I'm saying that about the word of God. You know, the written word of God, that's what it's for. You know, even Satan uses the word of God to try to turn you. I mean, one could have missed one word in there. One could have misinterpreted. But I had to really ask myself, did they read the whole word? And I said that for a reason. You know the word of God. You know what is written, and read the whole scripture, every single chapter that you read. You know, read it in the manner of, how do I see Jesus in this? Who wrote that? Who said it? And who did they say it to in the time that they say it to? But always, you know, be in that place of knowing, you know, what is written and knowing that how can I see Jesus? Amen. I thank God for this topic on tonight. You know, it really did inspire me. It really helped me. I hope it did inspire you as well and help y'all. Amen.
Amen. If you're just tuning into the Preaching of Pastor, we're talking about it is written. If you have any comments or questions, please press 1 at this time. Again, we thank God for everybody that's tuned in on tonight. And, you know, like I stated earlier, just understanding the word of God, the written word of God. And, you know, we talked about earlier part of the show, I was saying about, you know, the difference between logos and rhema and how the Lord's word imparts the divine life to us. You all is very important. And understand the Greek word for the words, you know, that we study here in the rhema, in which denotes the instant present spoken word. It differs from logos, which is the use for the word, in which denotes the constant word. So here the word here follows the spirit. So the spirit is living and real. So yet he is very mysterious and intangible and difficult, you all, for people to apprehend. The words, however, are substantial. So first the Lord indicated that for giving life, he will become the spirit. Then he said that the words he speaks are spirit and life. So this shows that his spoken words are the embodiment of the spirit of life. So he is now the life-giving spirit in resurrection, and the spirit is embodied, you all, in his word. So, you know, it's powerful, you know. So when we receive his word by exercising our spirit, we get the spirit who is life. So the key for us is to receive the Lord's rhema words is to exercise our spirit when we come to the word of God. So the best way to exercise our spirit is by prayer, by praying with the word. That's so important, you all, that we pray with the word of God. You say, well, how do I do that? You know, we're going to have a lesson on that. How do I pray with the word of God? You use the word of God. Father God, your word says this. It is written in Psalms 23:1. That though you are my shepherd, I shall not want. So I decree and declare that I have no want because you are my shepherd. So we contact the spirit in the word and in the Word, you all. Understand that we contact the Spirit in the Word, and the words on the page are no longer simply words, but become Spirit and life to us. So this is how the Word of God feeds us and supplies us with life for our growth in Christ. When we look in Ephesians 5 and 26, it says that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. In the Word, you all, in the Word. So the washing in this verse refers not to the washing away of sins by the blood of Jesus, but to the washing of the water in the Word. Again, rhema is used for Word here. So we note this here on Word. It explains what the washing is, rhema Word does in us. Okay, you all, we talk about, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about the written Word, understanding the rhema Word and the Word logos you are hearing, how it's used and how the Spirit, the Word, you know, we know the Bible is more that we come together in Bible study and on the preaching the pastor show, and understand the Greek word denotes an instant word, so the indwelling Christ as the life-giving Spirit is always speaking an instant present living word to metabolically cleanse away the old and replace it with the new, causing an inward transformation. So the cleansing by the washing of the water of life is in the Word of Christ. So you all, this here indicates that in the Word of Christ, there is the water of life. This is typified by the laver situation between the altar and the tabernacle in Exodus 38:8 and 47. To be transformed, you are inwardly, we need to open ourselves to the Lord so his logos can become his rhema word to us to wash and cleanse us every day of our life. So certainly God wants us to read and study and memorize his written word, but even more, he wants us to receive his instant living speaking Word, you all. We need to spend more time to and read and pray with logos, with hearts open and spirits exercised, so the Lord can daily speak rhema words to help us and impart life into us and watch us for the fulfillment of his marvelous purpose and plan for our life. A lot of people are saying, I just need to get a word from God. I need to hear from God. I need direction. I need instructions. And, you know, and just so you can get that exercise, so you can receive that rhema word from God as you're praying and as you're reading the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And God will do that for you all. And I hope that this topic today and this lesson is kind of like another Bible study has helped you all as it has helped us, you know, to always refresh, even as pastors and ministers and prophets to refresh, you know, we should always be setting the short ourselves approved and being in the Word. So we thank God again for you all on tonight. Again, I repeat myself, you all, we will be online at 12 midnight tonight on our prayer call number 732-434-2510. My husband and myself and all the believers will be online to receive that breakthrough that God has, you know, God's promise. We stand on the promises of God. If you don't have any questions at this time, I'll let Pastor give us our food for thought, and then we'll go in prayer, and then we'll release y'all for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Anybody have any questions? Pastor, you can see it. You can see them on the screen.
Nobody's first one.
All right. I hope this lesson bless you all. It did bless me. I'm have food for thought.
Yes.
Food for thought. I'm going to bring it straight from Scripture. Let me try to, you know, take anything away or add anything to it. From John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was God. And the Word was God.
Yes.
We need to say that what my wife is saying right here is rhema word of those word. Jesus Christ is Word of God. In the beginning there was the Word.
Yes.
The Word was with God. The Word was God. God bless you all. We love you. May God keep you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for everyone that's on the call tonight. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your written word. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for revelation and knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask right now, Jesus, saying that you would touch every heart, oh God. Lord, we pray for change right now. Oh Lord, by your word, oh God, for we know your word is true. And we just want to say thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
We can't thank you enough, but yet still we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for every heartbeat on the call. Oh, Father God, for every breath that we are taking and that we are taking right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we have received from Jesus Christ the victory over all diseases, afflictions, infirmities, hindrances, persecutions, torments, and lies that the enemy is trying to send our way now and in the future. We claim victory and deliverance from all demonic spirits, curses, hexes, vexes, enchantments, witchcraft, prayers, psychic prayers, or spells. We thank you that Jesus Christ is victorious through the power of his might and against all the walls of the devil, against principalities and powers and rules of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We claim our victory right now and say through your salvation and his shed blood of all these things right now. And we declare according to Job 22, verse 27 through 28, that we are victorious through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you. Oh, Father God, we ask, oh God, once again, Lord God, that you would continue to work on us and in us, oh God. Anything that's not of you, oh God, we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name that you remove it right now. Oh, Lord, we thank you for setting us free right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. We love you. We bless you to prosper. We bless you to be all that God has called you to be in this season. In Jesus' name, you all take care. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it, so just receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. We hope to see you tonight at midnight 12. Again, the number is 732-434-2510. We love you. Love you, babe. God bless.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streak, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like can you imagine?